You have to remember, of course, that Jesus has just dropped that amazing line, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me will never die. And do you believe this? He asks Martha. And she says, yes, Master, all along I have believed that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one who is coming into the world. After saying this, she went with her sister Mary and whispered in her ear, the teacher is here and is asking for you. The moment she heard that, she jumped up and ran out to him. Jesus had not yet entered the town, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When her sympathizing Jewish friends saw Mary run off, they followed her, thinking she was on her way to the tomb to weep there. Mary came to where Jesus was waiting and fell at his feet, saying, Master, if only you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her sobbing, and the Jews with her sobbing, a deep anger welled up within him. He said, Where did you put him? Master, come and see, they said. Now Jesus wept. The Jews said, Look how deeply he loved him. Others among them said, Well, if he loved him so much, why didn't he do something to keep him from dying? After all, he opened the eyes of the blind man. Then Jesus' anger, again welling up within him, arrived at the tomb. It was a simple cave in the hillside with a slab of stone laid against it. Jesus said, Remove the stone. The sister of the dead man, Martha, said, Master, by this time there's a stench. It's been 4 days. Jesus looked her in the eye. Didn't I tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? Then to the others, Jesus said, Go ahead, take away the stone. They removed the stone. Jesus raised his eyes to heaven and prayed, Father, I'm grateful that you have listened to me. I know you always do listen. But on account of this crowd standing here, I've spoken so that they might believe that you sent me. Then he shouted, Lazarus, come out. And Lazarus came out, a cadaver wrapped from head to toe and with a kerchief over his face. Jesus told them, Unwrap him and let him loose. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, we give you thanks for this time together. And so we pray that all our intentions, all our actions, everything that we do in service to you might be ordered in such a way that it is holy, that it is full of grace, that it would serve your divine majesty. And we pray it in Christ's holy name. Amen. So whenever we do a meditation like this, we always have to begin by imagining the place or the scene. So in your mind's eye, if you feel comfortable closing your eyes, you can do that. If you didn't have a very good night's sleep, you might not want to do that. And if you don't trust the people in the pew with you, you might want to keep your eyes open. But you want to imagine the place. What does this scene of Scripture look like to you? Does it take place on high rocks above the Jordan River, or maybe is it on the river bottom? You have to decide what time of day it is, if it's cool morning or if it's in the heat of the day. Does it feel humid or is it dry? You can make those kinds of choices. And as you stand in the place, before we get too far, you want to take a moment in our minds and ask God for what we most desire. What is it that you most desire today? What grace do you need or do you want from God as you begin to imagine yourself standing in this place? As I set the scene for us, I imagine us maybe 30 or 40 yards off from Jesus and the disciples. What are they doing? Can you make it out? Do they seem to be resting after a meal? Or maybe working on small tasks? Are they sitting together or are they sort of in small groups? Maybe Jesus is teaching them. If you look closely, you can see a young man, maybe 13 or 14, approaching them, sort of like a messenger. Can you hear what he says? They're too far away for me. I can only make out maybe a few words. Mary's brother, sick. Lazarus is sick. If you can see the disciples' faces, what are their reactions? Are they surprised? Are they surprised by what they heard? Did some of them seem to expect this to happen? Maybe Lazarus had not been well for some time. It's hard to tell. How does Jesus seem to take the news of his friend? If you take a couple steps forward, maybe you can hear him say, "This sickness does not lead to death." How can Jesus be so sure? Why does Jesus seem to have so much more confidence than everyone else? Why does Jesus have so much more confidence than you or me? Look at the disciples and Jesus now. They seem to be getting ready to go, to leave. If you can, try to move a couple steps closer to Jesus and the disciples so you can see their expressions better and maybe have a little less trouble hearing. They seem to be getting ready to go to Bethany. And so as they leave the spot where they've been, let's join with them and walk with them on this journey. Because we're imagining the scene, it's really easy to speed up the sequence of time. It would have taken a day to walk to Bethany. How many miles could you walk in a day? Can you imagine how your legs might feel after a long walk with Jesus and the disciples? Would you feel tired? Would you feel exhilarated? How do the disciples feel? Can you look at their faces and tell? Has this long walk affected their morale? Do they seem happy, excited to be with Jesus? Do they know what an adventure they're having? If you listen closely, you can begin to make out the sounds of the village. It sounds like some people are crying. Is that because, as Jesus said, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep? Did Jesus mean he was dead? Was Jesus wrong? Did the people just misunderstand? Why do people always seem to misunderstand Jesus? In our mind's eye, as we walk over the last rise, we can really see Bethany. What does it look like to you? Is it a small community? Is it more like a big suburb of downtown Jerusalem? We see a woman approaching through a gate. I think that must be Martha. As she gets closer, look at her. How does Martha strike you? Is she elegant? Quietly refined? Does she seem haggard or tired? Tired from mourning her brother? If you can, as she approaches, can you see her face? Can you see her eyes? What do Martha's eyes look like to you? Is there a confidence, a quiet confidence in her eyes? Or does she seem sorrowful, almost like sorrow is overpowering her face? I can see her say something. If only you had been here. If only you had been here. I can't tell. Is she matter of fact? Or is she disappointed? But she keeps going. I see her say, "But I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask." And I can see Jesus. From the back, I see him stretch out his hand and touch her on the shoulder. He will rise again. "Oh yes," she says, I know he will one day." She looks down. She's not really hearing Jesus. But I hear him say those familiar words, I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Look at Martha's face again. Look at her eyes. Do they look any different now? What does it mean to her that Lazarus will rise again? Can she even imagine a world where this is possible? What could Jesus mean? What could it mean that he is the resurrection? Jesus begins to walk a little more now, and we follow with the disciples. Get close. Follow within their ranks. Follow now as we walk more into the center of Bethany. And now Mary comes out to meet us. It's easier to hear conversations now that we're closer and her voice is so crystal clear. The resentment is in high fidelity. If only you had been here, my brother would not have died. And quietly, almost in a whisper, Jesus is able to pierce through that resentment. Where have you laid him? Step a little bit closer, if you will, to Mary and to Jesus and follow them as they walk. Follow them as they walk to the cave where Lazarus is buried. We can see Jesus walk up to the mouth of the cave. You can take a few steps closer. The disciples are there, but they're all in a clump, many of them so anxious about what could happen or what might happen. We can step forward, only a few yards behind Jesus. You can see him motion to four men to come and move the stone. And once the stone is gone, the breeze seems to stop too, and the air is still. The disciples murmur. Maybe it's good that the air is still, they say. But a voice distracts from the disciples. It's Jesus' voice. What is he saying? He's not very loud. I guess he doesn't need to be. Oh, he's praying. Jesus is praying. He says, "Blessed are you, Lord, God of the universe. Blessed are you, Lord, my Father." He prays. He says, "I don't say this for myself. I say this for the ones behind me. I say this for the ones who come after me." Jesus is praying. Jesus is talking about us. Jesus is praying about us. What's that like for you? What's it like for you that Jesus prays for you? What's it like for you that Jesus prays for you now? And then he says something else, something loud, and I don't hear, but slowly, wrapped in bands of cloth, slowly and unsteady at first, but then with each step more steady, Lazarus comes forth from the tomb and into the light of the sun. And now the crowd doesn't know what to think. If you scan the crowd, you'll see every reaction imaginable. Go ahead. Look at their faces. Look at the faces of the crowd. They have never seen anything like this before. Most of them are looking at Lazarus, and so they're distracted. We can move around a little closer so that we can see Jesus face to face. Maybe that's what you wanted all along, just to see his face, to look into the face of Jesus. What does his face look like to you? Is it sunburned? Is it tired? Is it thankful? Maybe Jesus' face looks a little surprised that he's pulled it off. Maybe his face doesn't look surprised that he pulled it off at all. As you look at Jesus' face, does he wonder if people believe now? Does he wonder if you believe? As you look at Jesus' face, in your mind, What is it that you most need to tell him? What is it that you most need to ask Jesus? Tell him what you need. Ask Jesus for what you most need. What do you want for Jesus to do for you? What is the desire of your heart? If you listen closely, you can hear Jesus' voice again. This time, he's asking you something. What is Jesus asking you? What does Jesus most need for you to do? What does Jesus want from you? What does Jesus want you to do that only you can do? Let us pray. Holy God, we give you thanks that you create us with bodies to serve you, hearts to love you, minds to learn and think about you. Help us this Lent to consider what you want us to do for you, that only we can do, that if we didn't do it, it wouldn't get done. Help us to consider our offering, just as your Son offered himself for us. Help us to make our offerings to him and to our neighbors. Help us to do it with thanksgiving, not with resentment, but rather in gratitude for all that you do for us, with the kind of generosity and the kind of humility that we see in your Son, who prays for us and who taught us to pray and prays with us when we say together, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day."